Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 612. We're going to continue on the theme of recognizing the common differences between husbands and wives and embracing them. The main yesod, which we're going to say again and again, and to remember this, one of the most common errors made by couples is that they equate and associate differences in character with chesroinos, as character faults. Again, they believe that because there's differences in personality, they make an error and equate it by saying these are chesroinos, these are character faults. And that is false. That is false. Different characteristics and different traits, even though it's challenging to you, does not mean that they are chesroinos. So with this theme in mind, we're going to continue with some of those common differences between husbands and wives. So as an example, a wife is very extroverted, thrives on company, loves to go to every simcha, to meet and socialize with people. Husband's introverted, enjoys spending his social time with his wife, shy of company. So there's tension every week when they decide whether to invite company for Shabbos or not invite company for Shabbos, whether to eat out and go in a simcha where the husband hardly knows anybody and doesn't want to go, or if a relative lives in a close proximity, how often should we visit them, not visit them at all? Because of the different natures, they'll come to disagreements in these aspects. Or the extroverted wife will tend to interact more with neighbors and friends, or lending and borrowing and sharing things, while the husband prefers to be independent, self-sufficient, and rely on neighbors as little as possible. So again, this is inborn traits. Now, even though they're inborn traits, yes, it could be modified. Each one needs to work on the compatibility and working with each other. An introverted spouse can try to be a little more extroverted. It's healthy for him or her to be more compatible with his spouse, to be more out of their shell and a little more extroverted. And the extroverted one needs to cope with that partner that's a different nature and turn inward sometimes. Mealtime, same idea. Some eat only healthy foods. They grew up that way. Some processed foods. They argue about how much junk food a child should be allowed to have. What do you do with leftover food? One may be very obsessed with it that they never throw anything out. How could we waste Hashem's food at all? The other one, they discard leftovers after a day or two being, you know, and they throw it out that way, and they come into conflict with that. He says, Rabbi Morgenstern, a chassan came to him 2 weeks before the wedding about advice about with his kala. He came from a more traditional background. His Shabbos cholent contained meat in it. The kala's family had vegetarian cholent. They didn't decide how to serve it when they get married. Should they serve a parav cholent on Shabbos or a fleishik cholent on Shabbos? And I guess if it's parav, they would have meat as a separate dish, whatever. So there's a story he brings down from the Kuznetsa Magid like this. A Friday night, a husband was famished from his day's work, and he wanted to eat from his wife's kugel right away at the beginning of the meal. And the wife insisted, no, we have the entree, like the fish, the soup, kugel, we serve with the meal, that's the way it's done. Husband was not happy because at the time he ate that kugel then, he was no longer really hungry, he didn't enjoy it as much. He wanted that kugel in the beginning of the meal. The wife refused and said, no, my minig is, kugel is served at the end of the meal when the main dish is served. And that is our custom. That's a minig that's going to stay. So I refuse to deviate from that, no matter what. They went to the Magid from Kuznets, and he came up with this strategy. He solved the problem very simply. He told his wife, you're making two kugels from now on. Serve one at the beginning of the meal to satisfy your husband, and serve the other one at the end of the meal to satisfy your family's minig. And he says that incident resulted in the Kuznetsa Hasidim preparing two Shabbos kugels. Interesting that he says that. So based on this story, Rabbi Morgenstern told his chassan and kala, take your cholent, divide it in half. One half will be vegetarian, and the other half will be meat will be put in. The idea of adjusting also to minhagim and chumras are very important. It comes with Pesach aspects. People go in both ways. On one hand, people go overboard with the chumras part of it that could create friction. On the other hand, the other way also. For example, if let's say the wife was used to many chumras in her house pertaining to Pesach growing up, and the husband is not, and you technically should follow the husband as not, And the wife really should comply with that. That's the minig now. And anyway, it's not healthy to go with chumras overall. But nevertheless, if you need sensitivity with this, it is not so easy for a woman who was raised her entire life with certain minhagim or chumras to suddenly change overnight. So even that adapting and adjusting needs to be done with a calmness, with a discussion, with a l'shem shemayim aspect of it, of working towards that those changes that need to take place. But the general rule is also not to go overly with the chumras that create stress. But from all of these cases that we discuss now that the author brings down, we go back to what we said in the beginning of the shir. Differences in personality are not chesroinais. They're not character flaws. A person needs to make a distinction, understand there's a big difference between a person's nature or a real chesaron. A chesaron, a fault, is a negative trait, like verbal abuse. That's a chesaron. Extreme anger, that's a chesaron. That has to be worked with. How to handle it is a separate story, but that's what it is. But being more extroverted and more introverted, or these things, and we had shiurim on personality types for that purpose, to explain those differences and to recognize it's not a chesaron. It's a maila and a chesaron, depending how you use it. It's not a good or bad. So the key really is, there are exceptions to the rules. Sometimes you have divorces that need to take place, and even then you ask for guidance, and you work through it in a menschlicher way when it has to happen. But for 99% of us, we have to recognize marriage is made min ha-shamayim, and it's destroyed not from shamayim, it's destroyed by people. It's not so much who you marry, but rather how you handle the marriage. That's a very true statement overall. People, it's hard for people to accept, but it is true. A lot of the nature of how well your marriage is, depending on each one of you, individually and collectively as a couple, what work you're willing to put into it. That is what it is. And this idea of having an attitude, I have no choice, Nebuch, I'm stuck with him, I'm stuck with her. And that's not what Hashem wants. You enter your marriage recognizing Hashem put you with this person. There's a mission in life here to change, to grow spiritually from challenging situations. Hashem's trying to teach you things. He has an example. You know, wife expected her husband, envisioned him to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham and also very sharp and clever. But after marriage, she realizes she can calculate grocery bills faster than him. He's slower in certain things than she is. She's quicker. He sometimes errs in certain things. He's an Erlich Yid and a good person, even a Talmud Chacham to a certain degree, but not in her the way she envisioned it. And although she wouldn't say anything to him because she wouldn't be very nice to Varim, but she needs to remove any resentment from her heart and just recognize this is who she's meant to be with and accept those aspects of him, B'Lev Shalom, and look at the good parts of his personality and be mekabel that, B'Lev Shalom. Rabbi DeMille used to say, marriage is built on concessions between spouses. It's impossible to maintain Shalom Bayis if each spouse does what they want to do. Through concession and compromising, spouses grow in terms of their character development. They learn self-control, and only this way will they succeed. The idea of having opposite traits enhancing a marriage, the moral in Gur Aryeh, based on Rashi Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Ches, says as follows. It's a real chizik for couples. Again, this is from the Sefer, the Do's and Don'ts of Staying Happily Married by Rav Chaim Morgenstern. The moral writes that when two opposite personalities are able to live in harmony and become one, they will merit a strong bond between themselves. They'll be zeicher to that strong bond. However, if their opposite personalities will clash, causing the kenegdai trait to dominate in their relationship, it will go to the other extreme and they will become fierce adversaries with each other. So it is an assign having opposite personalities. But if you work with it, you'll have the most strongest marriage, even more than if your personalities would be more aligned with one another. Those opposite personalities is opportunity to be the biggest bracha and to have the strongest bond between the two of you. And one more short topic that he mentions, we're going to mention it briefly. Someone once asked for Moshe Feinstein his opinion of an idea. Let's have a single and boy and girl live together with a family, simulate being husband and wife before they're married. They'll make sure there's no yichud shailas, no halacha shailas, and all of that stuff, put it away. They'll talk the halacha with Ramosha of how to go about it. But let them practice to see if they're compatible. Ramosha, this is based on the Igros Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Simon Tzadik. But basically, Ramosha said it's not worthwhile, because that you're being a Eber Chacham, you're being overly wise. You're Hashem, you should trust Hashem and marry her with the hope that she's the one that prepared you for him, not with these type of tests and preparations. Hashem does not need to test her. These tests don't help anyway. Now, Ramosh is not talking about, testing for health issues or testing to test to check whether they have similar Torah Hashkafas. Of course, you check these things out. He's talking about going overboard with having to test their compatibility with each other's in a sort of a pre-marriage pretending scenario. That you're changing the nature of things. That's not the way to go about it. A person will never discover the spouse's truly true personality until after marriage. So we'll be Messiah this year with the words of Avigdor Miller that he quotes. And again, we touched upon this when he sort of bashed this concept of the unhealthy romance concept that the cultural outside world has. And Miller says as follows, that people think that marriage is full of fun and endless enjoyment. However, like life itself, with ups and downs, smooth and rough sailing, full of variety of the purpose for testing us. It's not the same joy, it's not the same smile or glamour at the chasana that prevails later. There's friction between two different personalities of a husband and wife. Each one has rough edges, but this kenegdoi helps you grow. This is the success and growth, and that depends on how you respond. And when you respond the right way, or like the Maral says, when you work through those opposite personalities and see the beauty and the bracha within it, then it becomes stronger. The Kenegda creates a strength in the Azer. So remember the Netziv we said earlier that actually aids to the Azer. The Kenegda is actually benefiting your marriage in many, many ways. And so too, this concept of opposite personalities. But we're going to say again for the third time to really remember this. Differences in personality are not chesreinos, and many people make the mistake and they believe if you have a different personality than you, they view it as a chesaron, as a character default. It is not a character default. Everything needs to be channeled and worked through with midos, yes, but to accept those differences and love each other and respect each other with those differences, and you will have beautiful shalom bayis. Bracha v'atzlacha.